that she has stored in her heart for years, that she will yet see, and I bless her, the faithful intercessor, the faithful one, I bless her, Lord, that her eyes will see the desire of her heart. I bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can hug my daughter, Allie. She had a birthday this last week, too. She's a few years younger than Pat, I think. You know, that'd be my guess, you know. Yeah. But you can bless her as well. And, Lord, I do release your grace. You're keeping over my daughter. Lord, I just declare over her that you will continue to promote her, that you will send her in the paths that you have laid out for her. Lord, I thank you that you have designed her specifically to accomplish leadership in your church and in the world, and I bless her in that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is a yay, 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 God. From last night, I follow Lance Wallman, and he was on Facebook, and he came out with a prayer request because a friend of his had gotten bitten by a spider and had a bad infection and had been praying but not seeing release, and it was so bad that they were saying that possibly they were going to amputate his leg. So he put it out, and at the time there were 31,000 of us watching, because he goes around the world, and we prayed for quite some time. When I woke up this morning and looked at Facebook, he had a praise report, because the man's leg was absolutely, it was hard to look at. It was all red and infected, and then it had broken open that you could see. It was terrible. He had a turnaround. The doctor came in a few hours ago and said, your antibiotics are working. We won't have to airlift you, because they were going to amputate his leg, and his leg is healing. So his message, too, with this is that what we can do and how much we all have to, at this time, join together and really pray on these things, because we can have the victory.
Amen.
So,
amen.
I like that.
Anyone else that wants to say you got about something? Way back.
I want to jump off from George's, being grateful for Pat. And, you know, I can't say, you know, here's 15 times that Pat did marvelous, above and beyond things, and this is what it was and whatever. But when you stop and you think about coming to church and seeing Pat, doesn't your heart just get lifted somehow? I can't describe it, and so I'm not articulating it well. But isn't it a blessing to see Pat every single time you walk into church and she's there? Well, that's part of the blessing, is she brings him with her. But you know what I mean? And it's not like Pat goes out and fixes my car for me. It's not like Pat, but she just, well, yeah, it's like you just entered God's presence because Pat's there. You know what I mean? I don't know how to describe it, but Pat, I want to say to you, you are precious, and it's wonderful, and you are a blessing, and I am extremely grateful that you are here, and you know our connection as well as I do. It's not, we're not closely bonded, like, you know, best of friends, BFFs or whatever. But I do recognize that. And you do bring joy just by being you. We are family. So I'm grateful for Pat.
Lee and I were able to get away this week for a few nights. I want to put a plug in for Laternal Christian Camp. They do have some cottages down there that are winterized that you can rent, and they're fully equipped. They've got a kitchen. You know, it's like a tiny house. And so Lee and I were able to go down there, and the Lord met us very, very strongly. And so on top of that, Lee has left Top Supermarket in Walworth. I'm very sorry for you Walworthites. But he's going to be in Penfield Wegmans. He has orientation this next Saturday, so we're not sure when the hours, but it's part-time. So that's a blessing, too. Thank you, God.
Hey, we got one over here. We're glad she's here today. How many of you are glad she's here today? All right. Bonnie, what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, I don't know if everybody knows or not, but I was in a car accident on Thursday. And I'm pretty sure that my car's totaled. But I walked away from that, and God was watching it.
I saw a picture of the car. The car is a mess, so right. We're glad to see Bonnie's not a mess.
Well, I kind of feel that way, but anyway, I'm really grateful that no bones are broken. I'm sore, but other than that, I'm great. I'm grateful for all of your prayers. And I'm also grateful. For my daughter. She was there the whole time for me. She took care of things. So I'm grateful for all your prayers. Everything that everybody did. And I'm here for another Christmas.
You know, I think that God had a tremendous idea when he thought that we should be raised in families. And when the chips are down, family really, really is valuable. And we have this occasion again today to recognize the value of family when the chips are down, when things are hurting. I look at our world where they've just thrown family away. And I think about people who, well, do a Bonnie thing. Who's there at the bedside when you're looking up at a white ceiling? Who comes? And I think God's idea of family is certainly, probably he's smarter than we give him credit for being. Did you want to say something else?
My church family also for prayers and that they were having skates for me. I appreciate all of it.
Bless you, may the healing continue, and we just drift that pain away in Jesus' name. Amen. Michael.
I'm sure that no one can imagine how I feel about this wonderful lady. And the fact that we ever met, I truly, honestly and truly believe that it was an absolute miracle. And the fact that we have been married as long as we have, I just am so pleased and so thankful. Thank God. Praise God.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this couple. What a precious couple. And we release your grace and favor on them and their house. May the peace of God and the grace of God and the abundance of your favor rest upon the Plantenbergs. In Jesus' name. All the people say,
amen.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Hey, we got all kinds of hands. What are we got hands in the air for? You just bought that microphone.
Lucky me. As some of you know, we've been praying for Peter for his hip. And orthopedics keep saying, no, they won't see him, they won't see him. We have one that will see him Thursday.
Yes.
Oh.
I just want to say I'm thankful for Jill, even though she's not here. She's been working hard the last couple months on getting donations from her friends outside of church, friends from church. She's putting together kits for the homeless in the inner city. You know, gloves, socks, food that can be, that won't freeze. And she's not here today because she's going to be passing those kits out today. So I want to say thank you to her for that, and thank you for everyone that donated. It means a lot to both of us. Mm-hmm.
George, you want to pray a blessing on her as she goes and makes deliveries?
Father, we're so grateful for Jill and who she is, primarily your daughter, and just the amazing woman of God that she is. And we just release your grace and your blessing. We declare over her a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit as she walks, as she proceeds through this. Lord, we just pray that there would be a release of your kingdom. Not just these provisions, yes, the blessings of these provisions and more so, but that there would be kingdom blessings, healings and salvations and freedom that would go out with these gifts as well. We bless Jill. Pray your protection over her and those that go with her. Your grace as well, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord. Let's love on our God.
You say, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. Oh, you say I am love when I can't feel a thing. And you say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. failure, God, and you'll have every victory. Oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. And you say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe.
We're going to go back up to the top of that. And if there's... if there's any piece of this that really hits you where you're living, I just want you to, I want you to just own it. I want you to own what Father says about you instead of owning anything else that anyone else or even you yourself has said about you. I want you to believe what Father has said to you about you. Will you do that with me?
I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, yes, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe.
The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity.
Oh, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. And you say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, yes, I believe what you say of me.
Taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory.
Say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, yes, I believe what you say of me. I believe, oh, truth of your promise, and I steady my heart on the ground of your goodness. When I bow down with sorrow, I will lift up your name. Even the foxes in the vineyard will not steal my joy, because you are good to me.
Because you are.
a very good God. Children of a very good Father. And yet we can believe other things if we want to. And certainly the enemy would love to throw at us all sorts of life circumstance and situation that would enable us to try to believe something else. Maybe feel sorry for ourselves. Who knows? Maybe wonder why. But I'm going to tell you something. It's essential that we, in our hearts, without wavering, look and see that the goodness of God is our promise. That when He speaks, when He declares His goodness, when He says His good intentions toward you, that those are the firm foundation upon which you may live. I'm going to tell you something. When we, in the place of absolute determination and assurance, are grateful to Him for His goodness, that's the place of faith. The unhesitating, undoubtful, unwavering place of faith that establishes us in His promises. Because You are
good to me, good to me. You are good to me, good to me. You are good to me.
Because You
I'd like to tell you a little story about this song. I woke up in the night. I was receiving communications from God on that. I woke up in the middle of the night one night. Anxious and stirred up negatively, you know. And I had this song, "You Are Good to Me, Good to Me, Good to Me," going in my mind. And as I laid there, still in bed, with anxiety and anxiousness crowding for my attention, and a song, I had a choice to make. And for once in my life, I chose the song, and I dwelt on the song. And I just want to suggest to you folks that life is full of those opportunities to make a decision to think on or sing along with the voice of the enemy or the voice of God. And I just would like to challenge you, make the choice to hear and sing along with God. Ashley, I just want to say to you, bless you, sister. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And the enemy would like to park a whole bunch of negatives in you. And the Lord wants you to know He's got good stuff to park in your mind. Dwell on the good things that God has spoken to you and will yet, speak to you. Embrace them. Sing them back to God. Bless you, Ashley.
We declare in the name of Jesus just a complete and fresh release of the Spirit of God into you and then the words of God through you. Lord, I declare a release of your words. Lord, I thank you that you have been and are speaking to this woman of God, this vessel of honor. And I pray, Lord, that you will just pour through her, that your words will just go through her like a gusher. I declare it over you. You have the words of God within you, and you are called to release them. In the name of Jesus, I bless you in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Say this, Ashley, that while it's there's opportunities to speak it out loud, you know, like, hey, Mom, and lay the word of the Lord on her. You know, she could use it once in a while. But I want you to also recognize this, Ashley, as the Lord puts on your heart a sense of something for somebody, it isn't necessarily required of you to speak it out loud and say, Susie, blah, 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 blah. You just say, between you and God, I release that into Susie in Jesus' name. Now, I recognize something. As you begin to do that as a practice, suddenly it'll burble out your mouth too. But I want you to recognize it's not always required that you say it out loud, but that you say it, that you agree with it. And in the agreement is the power. Now, I know lots of teaching, you got to say it out loud. Well, I'm teaching you something else. Agree with God. It's more important to agree with God than what you say. But agree with God, say it to yourself, and there will be times when you need to say it out loud as well. But first of all, agree with God. Bless you, Ashley. I'm going to come buy a donut at your shop just so you can speak a word to me. Out loud.
Today, I just have a brief exhortation for you that we're going to just kind of interrupt the service to bring this public service announcement of the goodness of God toward you. I want you to understand that God has declared that you're his child. And because you're his child, you know, either he has all the power and all of the good things, and he's good enough to give them to you. Either that, or what in the world are we even thinking? There's nothing. You see what I mean? It's either all or nothing. And I'll tell you the truth is, it's all. About 4 weeks ago, I began to be on a little bit of a jag about faith. And I'm going to just add just a tiny bit today. 4 weeks ago, we talked about the situation with Jesus and his disciples. And they couldn't heal the boy that was throwing himself in the water and the fire. And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief, your lack of believing. And he went on to say, for truly I say to you, if you have the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. That was 4 weeks ago. And we declared together that we would not be those that did not believe, but that we would be those who believed. That's who we are. 3 weeks ago, I reminded you that in order to have faith, you have to first believe that he exists, God exists. And secondly, that he's good. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Those are the beginnings, those are the foundations of believing right there. We went on to say that in understanding his goodness, we recognize that he has, yes, good purposes for you, David, here in your life. That's true. But even more important to him are his transcendent purposes over your life. And his purposes in this time and in this life, in this realm, are those things that also enable you in the next realm and that which is beyond. And we also need to recognize that whereas we can understand some aspects of his current time-like, space-like purposes, and we can understand some of his transcendent purposes. Typically, we don't understand all of them. Often, we understand very small amounts of his purposes, and we see them better as we go past them and look back than when we're going toward them. We understand little bits. We do not fully comprehend his transcendent purposes in their entirety. That was 3 weeks ago. Last week, I spoke to you about the fact that we have faith because we have faith because he has given us a gift of faith, which is good. We have faith because we have seen some things in some measure. That's good. We have faith because we refuse to be deceived by things that come against the truth of God, even not allowing the temporal to teach us lies about eternal realities. And we have faith not just because, but we have faith despite. We have faith despite things that we've seen with our eyes, despite how we see other people, how situations occur, despite our limited understanding, despite the enemy's constant accusation against the goodness of God. We have faith anyway. We remember that we said that faith comes out of the fact that God gave us a sense to hear. And not only did God give us a sense to hear, but he gave us the ability to actively hear. And then he gave us something to hear and be transformed by. Just like when he said, "Let there be light," he caused nothing to become something that can hear. And that something that can hear heard, and then it became in accordance with his word. In just the same way, we have that same capacity. And when he speaks, even if we couldn't hear, his word would create in us the capacity to hear. And having heard, we would know something, and having known something, we can be transformed by it. Today, I just want to share with you briefly, another interaction where Jesus talks about faith. It comes out of Mark chapter 11. And Jesus answered them saying, "Have faith in God." Let me just say something to you. You, if you have faith at all, let me say to you, have faith in God. Don't have faith in this or that. You know, honestly, you can kind of trust people sometimes, right? Right? But you can have faith in God. You can kind of think that you know stuff and understand things, and maybe you can a little bit trust that, but you can have faith in God. You can even understand spiritual things and sort of get it some of the time. Even think you maybe a lot of time, who knows, maybe. But you can have faith in God. Did you hear what I said? There is much that is, at best, partial, but you can have faith in God and in his goodness and in his righteousness and in his truth and in his word. Have faith in God. Jesus answered saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever may be saying to this mountain, 'Be being taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart." I want to hit on that phrase, "and does not doubt in his heart." The word doubt there is an interesting word. It actually comes from a prefix in the Greek, which is dia, which is often means through or possibly after. And then kinos or something like that. Kinos, something like that. Which has to do with judgment. And yet, in the reflexive tone, which is used in this, in Jesus' quote here, it means to get to the end of the judgment and then wonder, wait, and hesitate. The word is really hesitate. Even more than doubt, it's hesitate. There's a story in the Old Testament that I want to share with you, just the briefest part of. You're familiar with it, I'm quite sure. There was a woman named Hannah in the Old Testament, and She was a sad girl. She was unhappy. I want to tell you why. She didn't have babies. And yet God had a very special plan for her. When we first see her, she's being ridiculed by another wife of her husband and teased and constantly reminded of her incapacity to have children. And we see her, and she takes the hurt and the difficulty and allows that to drive her in a direction. She cries out before the Lord. This is all in Samuel chapter 1 and 2. She cries out before the Lord, and she weeps before the Lord. Every year, year after year, she weeps before the Lord and cries out to the Lord. And one year, she's there. She's crying out before the Lord, and she's doing it silently, like maybe her pastor told her. Sometimes, you know, when you hear the word of the Lord, you don't have to say it out loud. But she was doing it silent, but her lips were moving, okay? Her lips were moving, and the priest saw her lips moving and her not saying anything. And he figures, this woman's drunk. And he says, why don't you quit your wine problem? And she says, it's not wine. I have a broken heart before God, and I desperately want a child. And the priest blesses her. And it's very instructive to see what happens then. The priest blesses her. She receives it as a word from the Lord. And you know what she does? She wipes her eyes. She quits her crying. And she believes. She wipes her eyes. She stops hesitating. No hesitation whatsoever. She goes right and she believes fully. And she grabs a hold of the word of the Lord. She goes back home with her husband and she gets pregnant. She names her son Samuel, which means several possibilities. One of those possibilities is the Lord heard. God heard. Okay? And indeed, God did hear her crying. Let me just say something to you. Every time that you talk to your God, he hears you. Every time. He hears. God hears you. And he loves you. And he hears you with open heart and openness toward your good promotion that he has for you. He sees you. He sees your request. He sees it in the context of the whole of his goodness toward you. But he hears you. But if I fast forward to the next story, you guys know the story. So she, at age, I can't remember, 2 or 3 years old or something like that, sends Samuel to live in the temple with a corrupt priesthood, as you recall. And yet God speaks to him. So what else does Samuel mean? Hears God. Okay? And this little boy hears God, right? And he hears God, and he hears God, and he hears God. And the words of God come out of him. And this all comes from a place of a woman desperate before the Lord, desperately requesting, desperately begging, year after year begging. She hears the word, and she, boom, there's no hesitation. I should, somebody get me a Bible. Somebody got a Bible in here? Do we have Bibles? We got a Bible. Mom's got it right here for me. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. It says that the Lord provoked her earlier on. in the scripture. It says that the Lord provoked her. And out of that provocation, she wept before the Lord. Eli answered and said to her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Boom. She received the word and believed. There wasn't hesitation any longer.
So did her rejection and her hurt feelings and the mocking stop at that point so that she could be happy then?
You know, the truth of the matter, she wasn't pregnant yet. I mean, if you actually read...
Well,
it probably kept on going, okay, because the other woman was doing that to her. We don't ever read any more about the other woman or anything like that, but I'll tell you something. We do read about Hannah. We read about Hannah's offspring, and she, you ask, what did she do? She believed. She believed. She believed that which is not yet seen. Let me just say something to you. If you think that faith is about seeing what you, about believing what you have already seen, you're misunderstanding what faith's about. Faith is about believing that which has not yet been seen. Otherwise, it's not faith. They arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned home. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. I just want to say one other quick thing, and that is, so she gets pregnant, she dedicates him to the Lord, and Hannah prays, and she says, "My heart exalts in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth speaks boldly against my enemies." And if you read that section, which is, I believe, chapter 2 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, it sounds very much like a sister of hers named Mary, several hundred years later, who also had a child in a miraculous way, who also recognized the salvation of her God in the process. Go ahead and compare them. They're good. They're both a worship after having seen what was believed as it was yet unseen. So let me just say to you that there comes a place when you have heard the word of God that you need to wipe your tears and then stand up and expect on. Okay? So this is a piece of faith that I want you to sometimes recognize that you need to grab a hold of in order to execute faith. Okay? Let me say something to you about belief really quick. Belief is not just what you say you think. Belief is not some theory that you'll have inside of your head. Okay? Belief is not just some confession that you've made. Belief is that which is established within you such that it comes out of you in how you live and act. Does that make sense? Belief comes out somehow, okay? Not just, "Hi, I'm a Christian." Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Not that kind of belief or that kind of coming out. I mean, I live differently. She lived because she believed. She wiped her face off and stopped crying, despite the likelihood that she kept on and getting junk thrown at her, okay? And she just marched on, went ahead and got pregnant. As it turns out, she got pregnant 5 more times after that one. She just kept right on going. She believed, and so she lived in such a way that there wasn't hesitation in that. Do you see what I mean? Anyway, did somebody say something?
There's 1 Samuel chapter 2, the last part of verse 1 says, "My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies." So when I read just that part, I think, "You're a jerk, I'm in your face." I don't think that's what she did. You read the rest of that verse and it tells you what she did. "Because I rejoice in thy salvation." How is she in the face of her enemies? By rejoicing in her salvation.
And that's how we do it too. And that's how we do it, is we believe it so much that we just stand in it and walk in it. Okay? and live like it. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, that's one thing to say, oh, I believe in this or I believe in that. That's great. I'm glad that you say it. I really am. And I want you to say it. But I also sometimes want you just to simply walk in it. Just to put on the clothes that are appropriate to that. Okay? You know, if Dave's to believe that he's going to be, the chief, then maybe he should wear a chief's hat. Okay? Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's like stepping into it and just saying, yeah, okay, if God said it, then I believe. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that we'd like to believe that we're not sure that God said to us yet. Then press in until you hear what God has said. If you're not sure about what God has said, well, go after him. Go after him. He wants you to. He loves it when you pursue him until he is captured by you. He lets himself be captured by you. But he loves the pursuit. I have a little granddaughter. Man, she loves the pursuit. Man, she really enjoys when grandpa's coming to get her. Okay? As soon as I get her, she wants to get away so that I can come and get her again. You know what? That's how we all are. We love to be pursued, actually. You love it when you're pursued, even when you're acquired. Okay? Same as with God. He made us like himself. He loves to have you pursue him. And then he'll give you his word. And when he has given you his word, this is what I want you to do. Wash your face. Stand up. Believe through your life. Walk it. As though it were already, hesitating not a mite. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is back to Jesus. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever may be saying to this mountain, be being taken up and cast into the sea, and is not hesitating in his heart, but would be believing what he is saying, and would be believing that what he is saying is becoming. Okay, that, I'm giving you the actual verbiage. Okay, I'm rewriting it a little bit because I'm giving you the actual tenses that are in the Greek. Let me say to you that we are in a place where there is time. And in a place where there's time, there's a becoming. Okay? Now, Hannah, when she heard the word, she washed her face. And I'm going to tell you something. They were still in the temple, and she was becoming pregnant. Okay? Can I tell you the truth? Now, yes, they were going to go back home before, you know, anything happened. Okay? But she was becoming pregnant. Okay? There was a becoming that was happening in her. There was an ing after Hannah. Okay, Hannah was ing. She was in the process, and it's partly because she was standing, she was being, she was living her faith. There was an ing happening. There was a becoming. Jesus said, if he's believing and not hesitating, what he is saying is becoming, then it will be granted. Let me just say, we often live, most of our life is lived in the ing stage of the whole process, okay? We're waiting to see the coming of God to in the becoming of his salvation into the various parts of whatever our life is about. Okay, so we're waiting in the ing stage. But the promise is it will occur. Okay, if you look at the Greek here, what Jesus says, almost everything he says is in the ing. It's in the progressive. It's happening or believing and standing and saying. And then he says, it will be accomplished. There's a guarantee at the end. But what do? We pray. We pour our hearts out. We pursue. When we've heard, we receive. We believe. We wash our face. We continue to believe unhesitatingly. And then we see that he will accomplish that which he has spoken. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus goes on and he repeats himself. I wonder why. I wonder if he probably just wanted to clarify for himself or something. Or maybe it was for somebody else. Maybe it was for you and me. Who knows? It could be. Therefore, he says, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, be ye believing that you are obtaining them, and they will be whatever you will be saying. And then he goes on and says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who's in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Let me just say that very often, God has a purpose during that ing time. God has a purpose in this birthing time, this becoming time, that's good for you. It grows you up. It helps you to get rid of some of the things that, if they weren't dealt with, they'd be a trap to you. And so, in the ing time, it's not just that we stand there and believe, but we also enable him to weed through a few things inside of our hearts and take a few, maybe an unforgiveness or an issue of various sorts. He pulls those things out so that when he manages to give us his good thing, that it doesn't destroy us. You see what I mean? Because he's good. He's better good than you can think of. His goodness is a bigger and better goodness than you've been aware of. So there's a few of you that have been asking for a long time. I want you to pursue hearing his word with respect to that matter. And having heard, and maybe you already have, then I want you to wash your face and put on your good clothes and put on your chief's hat and stand in the place of believing without hesitation, no hesitation. And I want you to keep your heart open so that he can do whatever he wants to tweak it here and fix it up there. And I want you to unhesitatingly believe the word of the Lord. Can you do that? Say yes. Say yes, Lord. I will hear your voice. I will believe your word. I will be believing your word. And you will accomplish it. Amen. We're going to just go back to a little bit of worship time. If I can find my keyboardist. He escaped like 3 minutes ago. Ha! Did you? I can't remember. And my Betsy, who will sing with me. Thank you. James, we're going to go to O Come All Ye Faithful. And I want us, yes, this is a Christmas song, but it's saying you faithful, you're the ones that's talking to, O Come All Ye Faithful, and come and adore him, okay? And part of the place of having received a promise and standing in that is simply to adore him, be grateful to him, worship him. In the place of faith, which is in the place of having heard but not yet seen. Let me remind you of something really quick, and I forgot to get to this spot in my notes. Sometimes my notes don't go linearly, you know? That's how it works sometimes. My question for you is, what have you heard that you haven't yet seen? I'm reminding you of some of those things. What have you heard that you haven't yet seen? What have you heard that you haven't seen and yet you believe? Now that's real faith. That's good. What have you heard that you haven't yet seen and you're praying your heart out for? What have you heard that you haven't yet seen and yet you're acting like it's done. In that place, I'll pull you into a place of adoring him and worshiping him. Oh, come, are ye faithful. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore. Of angels singing exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore.
First Sunday of Advent, and tradition has it that you light a candle a Sunday, and when you get to the end of the four Sundays or whatever, you light the center candle, which means he's arrived. I want you to know that he arrived 2,000 years ago in that manner, and he's been around ever since the beginning of time and before. And so we don't go with tradition, we go with the facts. He always was and ever is. And so we, when we do our traditional wreath, yeah, we will go with the idea that this is the first Sunday of Advent. But it isn't to celebrate his birth or something, it's a recognition that he who loves us came and has never left. I'd like to talk to you for a little bit this morning about the word love and the word agape. We tend to regularly think of agape or love as an attribute of God. And I would like to read to you out of the book of Luke, chapter 6. I'm jumping in the middle, and then I'll go back. But I'm jumping in the middle just to give you a verse out of the Sermon on the Mount. And it's Luke chapter 6, verse 32. And Jesus said, if you love only those that love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. Now, I want to read it to you using the word agape, because that's the word that's used here. If you agape those that agape you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners agape those who agape them. That puts love at a different level, and agape at a different level than we often think. Those are the words of Jesus. You can discount them if you like, but I think that when Jesus spoke, he spoke what his Father was saying, and he was saying something to us about the love that occurs among people and the love that occurs in the Godhead. Use the same word, agape. You can look it up. Generally, we don't look at scriptures that don't agree with our theology, and so we don't have to face it. But I'll challenge you to go ahead and look it up, and you'll discover that sinners agape sinners who agape them. So what in the world is he talking about? And I'd like to recognize something. Some time ago, I began to talk to you, about the same time as he began to talk to you about faith, I began to talk to you about love and what it was love, remember? And I mentioned that love, as it was defined, well, it was Romans, and he said, if we don't love, then it amounts to nothing in us. Remember that? How many of you remember that we, it all for nothing? If I give my body to be burned and have not love, nothing. That was agape, by the way. And then Romans goes on and talks about love is kind and forgiving and merciful and patient. And I spoke to you about the fact that the love that is being defined here is the love of God. He's the one who defines love as forgiving and remembers them no longer against us. He's the one who has that definition in the heartbeat of his love for us. So I'd like to read now. I'm worse than George. I don't even know where I want to go, but I'm skipping around in my notes. But I want to read to you the Luke passage here that has this word agape in there, and I'd like to just dig at it a little bit. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But to you who are willing to listen, this is a New Living Translation. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, agape your enemies. Oh my goodness. He uses that word. But that's a God word, so that works. I say, agape your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer him the other one. Also, if someone demands your coat, offer him your shirt. Also, give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. If you agape only those who agape you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners agape those who agape them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Agape your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will be truly acting as children of the Most High. He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, even as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge, and so on. I want you to catch the drift here. Jesus is saying there is a love that goes far beyond what you're capable of. It's an agape love, which is found in the Father, but there's an agape love found in sinners too. And the difference is, this is the difference. The agape of the Father is eternal. And it expresses itself to sinners as well as to nice people like you and me. God so loved nice people that he sent his Son to die on the cross. It doesn't say that. God so loved the entire world that he sent his Son to die for the entire world. He opened the door, and it's costly love. And when Jesus is talking about the love that they will know you are my disciples because you love one another, he's not talking about the love that sinners show to sinners. He's talking about the love that comes out of the Father's heart into the Son's children's heart and is manifested across the board. He's talking about a love that starts in heaven and dwells in the heart of those who are his children. He's talking about something that is supernatural, not natural. And it is also, I just want to finish this. He also wants us to recognize that we won't have that love by obeying the law, but by expressing his love. How does that go along with George's message about faith? It has everything to do about faith. I am not going to agape the way he wants me to agape unless he releases his agape in me. And I am willing for it to be expressed. And I have an argument. All of you that would like to argue this, join me in my argument. God's great love comes from a great God. And so he loves, and it, while it does cost him something, when he gets tired of it, he can say, go to hell. You can only hurt him so much, and then he just wipes the blotter clean and says, I'm done with this. He's God, you know. He can turn it off anytime he wants to. But me, you know, if I'm going to love David and he's mean to me, and it's costing me, and it's costing me, and it's costing me, and it's not fair. I'm not God. I can't wipe him out. So it's not fair for me to have to love Dave the way God loves Dave because he's God and he can turn the switch off anytime he wants to, but I can't. It's not fair. How many of you agree it's not fair? Thank you for agreeing with me. We'll challenge God on this. Now on the other side is George's message. Do you believe that God dwells in you? Do you believe that God says, all that I am and all that I have, I want to give to my kids? You say, well, I believe it, but I don't believe it. Yes, I want you to express your love, but do it through somebody else. Because I want to hold on to what is mine. And I want to be able to be mean back if they want to be mean back. I want to just offer an idea about God's love. I don't believe that God, when it comes time for judgment, I don't believe he's going to say, boy, we've waited a long time for this. Yeah! I don't believe that at all. I think it is with sorrow that he condemns Satan and his minions to to the place of punishment. In that love, according to Scripture, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Betsy and I were talking about this week. Love those who hate you. Love those that would take everything from you. Take your coat, give them your shirt also. Strike you on one side, let them strike the other side also. It's not fair. Where does this end? Where does it end? It ends and begins related, with God. Have faith in God. And I don't know how to walk there. I'm trying to be as real as I know how. I don't know how to walk there. I don't know how to love my enemies. And if they rip off my coat and take my car and they want my house as well, I don't know how to walk there. You see, I'm not God. But the counsel is, have faith in the God who is God. And who dwells within me. And who has committed himself to me. All right. That's the message I have for you. Now, that's perhaps the word of the Lord. You can take it or leave it. But now I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to talk about George. And this may not have a whole lot of anointing, but I try to give you the real picture. The real picture is, I think, Father, help me to love Kathy the way you love Kathy. I'm not quite there yet. That I want to express your love. My reaction isn't so swift, God. It doesn't look like Jesus at all, but give me your heart concerning Peter. Give me your heart concerning my boss. Give me your heart concerning him or her. I don't see that coming out of me, but I would like to love the way you love. And in the degree or in the manner in which you purpose to love through me related to Kathy. I'm not looking for an escape, but I recognize that Jesus didn't let them kill him when it wasn't time. He didn't shut up when they told him to shut up. He didn't change the message just because it was inconvenient or unpopular. There was a commitment to loving as God would love, and sometimes the message was downright nasty. You hypocrites. You whitewashed sepulchers. You damn yourself and the rest of the world with you. You go 1,000 miles to make people worse than you. In bondage worse than you yourselves are. You won't lift a finger to help them. He wasn't very nice sometimes. But I suspect it was love. I always and only do what my Father is doing and saying. Is that what you're referring to? That's what he did. That's what he said. And so, here's where I want to go with this. I don't know how to live with that high calling. But I'm not willing to say, okay, you can't live that way. Because if you gave to everybody that asked of you, you'd soon have nothing to give. So perhaps this is George. There may be times when God says no. The answer is no. There needs to be a willingness to love the way he loves rather than an unwillingness to love the way he loves. It would be insincere to say, give me your heart of love, but don't ask me to love Estella. Are you with me? Give me your heart concerning Jerry, but don't expect me to love Nancy. There's a lack of integrity there when you're asking God who loves Nancy, who forgives Nancy, who is kind to Nancy, who is patient to Nancy, and say, I can love some people, but I can't love others. James, the book of James, he actually talks about, and he's talking to the church. He says, you're nice to some people because they look wealthy and nasty to other people because they're poor. There's something wrong with your heart. So, as we come into the Christmas season this year, I'd like to challenge you, us, to be a people who say, I want to be a child of God who loves the way my Father does. I'm not there, but I ask you, Father, to give me a heart that is pleasing to you and help me to live and act and speak in a way that manifests you in this day and hour. That's a pretty big prayer. And I suspect that there's a part of the Father who would love to express himself through you in ways that you have not been willing or able to express up to this point. And all he needs is your permission. And he'll begin to do it. And you might say, but I'm not God, but all the promises of God are yours. He'll cover the base if he calls you to run it. First Sunday of Advent, we invite the one who came because of love to manifest that love in us and through us. Do you dare go there? So, Father, here I am. I talk to your people and I gave them your word, and then I blabbed about my weakness and failure. I also noted that you are faithful and that your ways are perfect and that you have things you want to do in each of us that we have been reluctant to participate in. And we say, please come and do your work in us so that it will be accomplished that we will manifest your love in ways that we have not to this point done. In Jesus' name. I'd like to read to you the place where we began this several months ago. Well, I guess it's a month ago or more. If I could speak with all the languages of earth and angels, but didn't agape others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had faith that could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. And if I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, well, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And then the definition, love is patient and kind, not jealous, or boastful or proud, rude, doesn't demand its own way, not irritable, and keeps no records of wrongs. If that love isn't working in me, all for nothing. So, Father, I pray that you would stir in us this Christmas season to be sons and daughters of God who is love. Manifest your presence in us and through us. I ask in Jesus' name. Be glorified in your body and accomplish your purposes. May that which Jesus died to purchase be found in his stocking this Christmas. We pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons to come and we'll share communion together. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning, we gather around the communion table, and first of all, we give thanks, and I ask you would you give thanks and bless the elements?
God, every day you amaze me. You're with us every step of a journey of life. And when that last step comes, it's not a day of sorrow, but a day of happiness and celebration. And the reason why this day can be celebrated is because you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins while we were still sinners.
That's right.
And you gave us the ultimate gift. And so this bread, which is a symbol of the body that was broken on the cross for our sins, please, God, we thank you so much for the gift you've given us.
Amen. Amen. Would you share it among the brothers and sisters out there?
There's a song that I want to introduce to you. It's called "Lead Me On," and it obviously comes out of the 23rd Psalm, and it speaks of our relationship with the Shepherd and how good He is to us, and how He moves us and does this and that for us. But then the last line is always, "Lead me on." And I want us to receive that as we get into it in a few minutes. I want us to receive it not just as a sense of you lead me because you do good things for me, but you lead me as in your love through me. There's a scripture that says that the end of the whole thing is faith working through love. And I want us to own the "lead me on" in the sense of faith working through love.
Together in reverence to the Almighty God. We honor you today, Father, for your great love and mercy. You did not hold back, but freely gave. Today, we ask that you would cause the living one to grow strong, mighty, and full of love within us. And may his grace, his mercy, his compassion flow out of us. Make us true sons and daughters of the living God, that will be known because we love with the love of God. Jesus said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." Take it. Likewise, Jesus took the cup and he shared it with his disciples, and he said to them, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of the sins of many. Would you give thanks and bless the cup?"
Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to us to help to completely heal our relationship with our Father in heaven. I just ask, Lord, that we would take time to consider all that was accomplished there, that we would have the fullness of all that was accomplished. And in this blood, we receive that today in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated.
You are my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Beside still waters, you lead my spirit on. Your hand will guide me, no matter where I walk. Through darkest valley, your love is not far off. And I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. I will.
I fear no evil, for you are with me. You set this table before my enemies. Anoint me, you overflow my cup, and they will follow me. Your goodness and your love, and your love, and I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. Lead me on. Lead me on.
So again, let's stand in the presence of our God. So, Lord, we recognize this is a great promise. We'll dwell in your house forever. But in the meantime, we pray, lead us. Lead us on. And may we be those who are willing to love at the cry of your heart. And would you say that? Yes? I want to be kind and merciful. Patient, forgiving, compassionate. Make me a lover after your heart. Teach me to love and lead me on. We pray in Jesus' name. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for the remission of the sins of many.
I will dwell in your staff are a strange mercy in a world where I'm not yet home. Your rod and your staff are a strange mercy in a world where I'm not yet home. Your rod and your staff are a strange mercy in a world where I'm not yet home. Your rod and your staff are a strange mercy in a world where I'm not yet home. And I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. I will dwell in your house forever. Lead us on. By faith, we choose to believe. Lead us on. By love, we choose to live. Lead us on. Lead us on into your ways and through your ways into our world. By faith, working through love, lead us on, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
In your bulletin, there are several announcements that need to be considered. The first one is Christmas caroling is this coming Saturday. And we're going to have some goodies back here at the church afterwards. And I was going to write up a checklist so that you could sign up for it. And my brain failed to function. My computer failed to function, and so it didn't get done. But Estella is in charge of that, and so I'm going to give Estella clipboard and pen. And now it's up to you, Estella. If we go hungry...
Because Dad forgot, now it's Estella's problem, okay?
We're going to be meeting here at the church at 6:30, and then we will... bundle into cars and go to several different spots and sing Christmas carols and do our thing and then come back here for a little bit of fellowship and goodies, drinks, and so on. On the second item in your bulletin, there's a prayer for the nation. And those of you that were involved in praying for your townships over the last month, I really, really do appreciate your commitment to prayer. In the number of towns that we got covered were quite significant. I just want to say it again. The presence of one believing and praying person in a town changes the atmosphere of the town. Now, two would be better. Two would put 10,000 to flight, and three would even be better still. But I'm convinced that we're in a desperate time as a nation. We stand as individuals, but we need to stand for our townships as well. And so if you're interested in signing up and participating for the month of December, there's a place to sign up in the back of your bulletin. And we'll remind you and harass you and so on concerning that. The back page of the bulletin has quite a lot to say about that. Inside the bulletin, dedicated to Courtney, is... an article which I don't know who wrote, but it's about two babies in the womb talking to each other. It's a delightful little article. I don't know if it really happened or not, but it would be fun for you to read. So inside the bulletin, read the article. about the two babies in the mother's womb, talking about the reality of life after birth. It's an interesting view inside the bulletin. So I encourage you to take the time to do the bulletin. The last item is Christmas Eve service, December 24th at 6:30. December 24th, that would be Christmas Eve. Betsy.
One more announcement.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
No. Go ahead.
I'm supposed to make the...
I've been looking for an excuse to do this.
You bummed. I'm supposed to make the announcement that this is Food Pantry Week. So any of you that wish to be helpful to us, serving our very large community with some wonderful good food, please help yourselves come 5:30 on Thursday evening.
I think we're going to start a new tradition. This is how we'll do announcements. Anything else that we need to cover?
Remind us of
George. I didn't say it, but I'm sure Paula's still open to getting more cookies for
okay.
More cookies. If you haven't signed up to make cookies and you want to make cookies for the food pantry, be in touch with Paula, please.
All right. If you're going to be at the Christmas caroling thing this weekend, see Estella, and tell her what you're going to bring in terms of cookies or drinks or alcoholic beverages or whatever. See you, Estella.
Sweets, chips, sour cream dip, or yogurt dip with some of us.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Sour cream, veggies to dip,
it is.
And
all right, she's got it all done. What a tremendous help. I should have let her do it in the first place. Bless you all. Have a wonderful week. And don't forget,
there we go.
Love a little, which means be kind, patient, gentle, unforgiving, forgiving. Bless you.
One, two, three, test, 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 one, two, three.